And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
Time to welcome to the studio once again from Envision Financial Services, Luke Smith, because it's a Friday.
It is.
It's been a short week, but I find that the short weeks always feel like they're longer.
I find every week at the moment for me leading into 30 June. 30 June, I find, has turned people into... It's like this deadline that makes people lose their mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a few things in life where people lose their mind. Christmas is one. 30 June's another.
Yep.
And walking into an airport.
Oh, yes.
A sane person can turn into a psychopath in an airport too.
But I can tell you, walking into an airport with two brothers and a friend and arriving there set to travel overseas and discovering that your brother has left his passport at home,
oof.
That really does instill panic.
Oof, that is, there's tears, and hopefully they're not yours. Exactly right.
Yeah.
So 30 June for us is, you know, it's manic and everybody's left things. And you know, you might have been told, listen, you need to do this from February. Mm. And all of a sudden now it's, okay, I've got a week. So.
Well, you know, 30th of June, it's the end of the tax year and a lot of people want to get their affairs in order, fair enough. And if you want to claim tax deductions for anything, yes, you do need to spend the money before the 30th of June.
Correct.
And if you want to make those contributions to your super fund, there correct. Are, you know, deadlines and procedures to follow and so forth. So you got to cross your I's, dot your T's, or something like that.
Exactly.
and
cross
get it all right.
Dot your I's.
We've been talking about this for weeks now, but today what we're talking about is what to do in July.
Yes, this one's come up a lot and it's quite time related, because the reason that I've said should I open a self-managed super fund in July is there's a good time to open a self-managed super fund for the right reasons, but a lot of the time in that last quarter, you generally don't open them, because if you do, you're up for a full tax return and you haven't had any value because you don't have any assets or anything in there yet. So I find a lot of people that come in and have advice and have a need for it for whatever reason, you say, listen, let's open it up in July, because then we've got a full financial year where we can pay a tax return and have some benefit and some value of the structure, as opposed to opening it now. And people think, oh, well, there's nothing in it. It won't cost anything. Most accountants will sting you for a full tax return
or
a large portion of it.
Oh,
even
of course
if it's,
they will.
Even if it's zero, because you've still got to do an audit, you've still got to do all the tax work, even though there might just be cash that's been rolled in preparation for investment. That's why I thought it's quite topical that from July it's something to think about. But I've also, off the back of last week, had a number of conversations with people about, you know, if I sell my investment property, that then led to, can I buy one in there?
Yeah.
Or could I buy a commercial building there because I'm self-employed? So we sort of segue that into why would you consider one, and what are the key benefits that people should remember, and some misconceptions that may preclude you from thinking that it's a vehicle that could be advantageous for your situation because of something that was said at the golf course or at lawn bowls. Because I often find if they took the word managed out of a self-managed super fund, a lot of people would be far less frightened.
Yeah.
And far less concerned, because they are an absolutely wonderful vehicle for a range of reasons, and we're going to touch on a few, not all of them, because if we talked about all of them, we'd be here for an hour and a half.
Yep.
But people need to keep in mind that a super fund is a lot like a car, and I know I bang on about this analogy because I find people can picture it. Different cars have different features. You can have a car that doesn't have air conditioning, you can have a car that doesn't auto brake, you can have a car that doesn't have a reversing camera, and that's fine. You can also get a car that will brake for you, park for you, steer for you, and do a range of other things. And the reason I talk about that is super funds are exactly the same. You can't look at all cars and go, they're the same, because they have different features, different benefits, and different things that appeal to different people.
And different levels of performance.
100%.
Some go well, some not so well.
Well, exactly right. And if we take that performance analogy and apply that to flexibility and control and options, a self-managed super fund is the pinnacle of flexibility. And it's really a case of not saying, should I, shouldn't I? It's about saying, why would I? And why would I go to it? Because a lot of people come in and they go, well, I'm in this fund. And I say, well, you might consider, do you want me to have a self-managed super fund? I was like, well, no, we didn't get there. But there doesn't seem to be a gap between industry fund and self-managed super fund. Now, we know there are, and there are other options. But people leap to that because it's topical. It's water cooler talk. And someone might have one. And I have people come in all the time and go, well, I want one of these. And as I say most times in most meetings, a mini's never going to pull a horse float. That doesn't mean we don't like minis. The self-managed super fund is an awesomely flexible vehicle, but they're not right for everyone.
Yeah.
And that's the point I guess we should start with is it right for you?
Mm-hmm.
Because just because it's available doesn't mean you should use it, because there could be a cheaper option that will meet all of your needs without the need to go down the road of a self-managed super fund.
So we've established that if you are planning on starting a self-managed super fund, yeah, you should do it in July, not in June.
Correct.
So what are some of the key reasons someone would choose to start a self-managed super fund?
Yeah, so the first one that people generally throw up is, I want control over my assets. And that's a very valid point, because you have unlimited investment options. You can buy listed shares, ETFs, managed funds, converting preference shares. You can buy privately held companies. You can buy just about anything, because ultimately you are the trustee and you are saying what the fund will hold and the capacity with which it will do it. With different super funds, like a personal super fund or an industry fund, you have to select from the approved product list. So that is a vetted list of investments that you can select from. If it's not on the list, you can't hold it in the fund. The other problem with a standard super fund is they might say, you can pick from this list, but we don't want you having more than 15% of any one asset in your portfolio. Now, for whatever reason, that might not suit your situation. So a self-managed super fund has no limit around the weightings, what you could buy, how you could buy it. The obvious control mechanism for most people is they like physical property. So it's the only super fund that will allow you to hold physical property, be it a house, a unit, or a commercial building. And provided it suits your risk profile, wonderful vehicle for holding that type of asset. You can even gear them, which may or may not be good depending on your situation. But you can have a loan, a limited recourse loan over property in a super fund. But again, you need to work out, well, whilst I can do it, what's the cost of doing it? What's the benefit for me? And does it align with my broader risk options? Another big one from a self-managed super fund perspective, and I find this misconception gets a lot of people, oh, they're expensive. Oh, they cost a lot. Now, a self-managed super fund is pound for pound the cheapest super fund structure available, where you start talking in excess of that million plus bracket. Now, if you can have multiple members in a fund, and within a household, generally you find a couple will have a self-managed super fund. Two business partners might have a self-managed super fund. So you can have multiple people have accounts inside a self-managed super fund. So from a scale perspective, a self-managed super fund with a balance in excess of $1 million, 9 times out of 10, when you look at the internal cost ratio, so the cost of the investments you hold, and then the audit and the admin tax, it's cheaper than an industry fund. Now, if you open a self-managed super fund with $300,000, that's going to be an expensive exercise, okay? Because a lot of the costs of a self-managed super fund are mandated in that you must do a tax return, you must have an audit, and they will incur a cost depending on the service provider that you have. It costs to open them up, okay? So there's an establishment cost because you need to create a deed. You might need to register a company as the trustee. So there's a cost in bringing it to life.
You're only starting to make it sound more and more complicated.
Well, I think this is why people need to understand that the first cab out of the rank is it right for me?
Yeah.
Just because there's a name for a unicorn, it doesn't mean you can get one.
Right.
I keep telling my girls that. But this is a similar principle. It's great in the right situations.
Yeah.
So they're very, very cost effective. Some other benefits include, you know, the control of tax. So a lot of people go into a self-managed super fund, especially into retirement phase, because you can run multiple pension accounts across a couple. You could run multiple accumulation accounts all under the one umbrella. Now, if you're in a normal super fund and you start a pension, as we know, you can't add to its capital value. So you need to run another fund on the side. So if you've got a couple that have got one or two pensions and an accumulation account, you could have 4 to 6 funds. Now, from an admin perspective, from an investment perspective, from a cash management perspective, that's not the most efficient way to do it. So this vehicle is a wonderful structure because you can run multiple pensions, multiple accumulation accounts, all under the one umbrella. Some other tax benefits are, you know, you could use surplus franking credits from a pension to reduce the contributions tax payable by the fund if you were making deductible contributions before 30 June. You could use one member's pension account to offset the tax on contributions or earnings in their accumulation account. You could use a pension payment to fund a deductible contribution the next day for yourself or a partner. So strategically, all we're trying to illustrate here is that this vehicle has so many benefits that the average consumer is not aware of, because they generally look at the value of a fund with two mechanisms. One, performance. Two, cost. Think about the tax to the next generation. So if you die and you have a taxable component in your super fund, non-dependent children or adult kids pay 17%. You can undertake a recontribution strategy to reduce the taxable percentage of your benefit. It does take some time depending on your balance, but you can do that in a self-managed super fund without the need to sell assets. And you could have $50,000 in the bank and reset $360,000 of taxable component without selling a single investment. So if you think about that, the benefit then from a tax perspective for the next generation is exponential. And again, you've got the simplicity of a single vehicle to hold your retirement assets. If you did that type of recontribution strategy in an industry fund or a personal super fund, you've got to physically sell everything down, pull it out, put it back in, start again. So, you know, there are some very brief illustrations of why that vehicle is strategically so wonderful that a lot of people haven't considered the benefit of, because they don't look at those types of things in most situations to evaluate whether it's good or bad.
11 to 5 now on 2CC. Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio, and today we're asking the question, should I open a self-managed super fund in July to hold my retirement assets? We'll be back with more shortly. Well, it's about 7 minutes to five, and yes, as you know, it is a Friday afternoon, and equally as you know, that means Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio. Today, we're talking about self-managed super funds and whether or not they're right for you. So, Luke, we've covered quite a lot of territory today, but what are the key things for people to keep in mind?
Yeah, look, I think the first one is work out if it's right for you. Just because it's available doesn't necessarily mean that it's right, and I spend more time telling people not to than to actually use one, because they just don't need it. Again, yeah. it's for smaller balances, it's quite expensive, and you have to weigh up, is the benefit I'm going to get for my reasons worth that cost? For larger balances, wonderfully efficient, wonderfully cost effective, and from a control standpoint, whether it's income, franking credits, the underlying assets, and the tax benefits, it's something to consider, because I find people retire and they want to know, what's my income going to be? So you need to control your income.
Yep.
Can I maximize the use of franking credits? And how do I then ensure that that transfer of money to the next generation is as efficient as possible? Now, those three components are three key reasons why this vehicle is a standout for addressing those concerns for most parties, especially where you've got adult children. I think from an admin perspective, a lot of super fund costs are fixed, especially now in the SMSF space. So whether your fund has 2 million, 1 million, 500 or 10 million, the general admin cost is very, very efficient. The tax benefit, as we said before, you could use pensions to fund deductible contributions. You could use surplus franking credits to offset contributions tax for another member. The other big advantage is a self-managed super fund doesn't lodge its tax return until 8 to 9 months after the end of the financial year. So in a standard super fund, you put the money in, they remit the tax, or they take it out of your account. With a self-managed super fund, you've got more money working for you for a much longer time, and then the tax is completed and lodged and paid where required. So again, you've got that flexibility over control of your money. You've got the peace of mind that you have transparency over what you're going to hold, the income that you're going to receive, the asset allocation that you can maintain, as well as the ability to hold any weighting to an individual asset that you wish. Now, some of the downsides or the considerations, You're legally responsible for its operation, okay? It costs money to set up because you may need to incorporate a company and get a deed created to bring it to life. So it's not all cupcakes and rainbows. But I think the benefits for that, especially moving into that retirement phase or getting close to retirement where you might work and take a pension, or you want to hold a commercial building to run your business out of, a wonderful vehicle to give control and flexibility and savings, both in accumulation and in retirement.
Well, I certainly hope we've answered some questions today. Where can listeners get more information?
Yeah, so office number 6260-4749. We've got envisionfinancial.com.au on the internet. That's Envision with an E, not an I. We've got the Strategy Stacker, Luke Talks Money on iTunes and Spotify. We've got Envision Financial Canberra on YouTube, where we've got all of the shows. You can watch it on your phone. We've got the Strategy Stacker handle on the Tiki Tocker, and all of these types of structural benefits are in Smart Money Strategy, your ultimate guide to financial planning, available in all good bookstores.
Does anybody actually try to spell it with an I? Because that's not actually a word.
All the time. All the time.
Good to know. Smart Money Strategy, your ultimate guide to financial planning, an ideal Christmas gift, even though we're nowhere near Christmas.
Correct.
Luke, thanks very much.
See you next week.
We'll catch you again next Friday. Luke Smith from Envision Financial, that's Envision with an E, and Luke will be back with us again at the same time next Friday afternoon to talk money matters one more time.